Morning, everybody. How are you? How many of you have absolutely no clue who I am? Great. I'm Mike, all right? And I'm from San Jose, California. I pastor a church there, and I'm your guest speaker this morning. So it's nice to be here. So my name is Mike. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to tell me your name, okay? Okay, ready? I'm Mike. One, two, three. Who are you?
Jerry.
See, now we all know each other. And so it is really nice to be here. In fact, one of the things I want to talk about this morning, and our focus is going to be on prayer, you need to have one of these little sermon outlines. And if you need one, I'm sure John or someone else will help you get one. Does anybody need a pen this morning? If you need a pen, just put your hand up. I want to give you a pen from Bayside Community Church in San Jose, California. Everybody go, ooh. You're very welcome. What's your name?
Jacob.
Hi. You're welcome, Jacob. So, I don't have any more pens. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I did not grow up going to church. I grew up in a family that didn't believe in God, thought religion was a waste of time. In my first year of university in 1979 at the University of Western Ontario, I was involved in all kinds of sports my whole life, and I started to have some knee injuries. And basically, I went from being Mike the athlete, because that was how I just, we moved around so much as a kid. I went to five different elementary schools. Once I found out that sports was a way to make people like you or have people like you, I was into every sport you could ever be in. And when I got into university and I started to have knee problems, I went from being Mike the athlete back to being Mike the lonely, I don't even know why I'm alive person. And one night my father, he'd been a bouncer in a bar for a number of years, he was a car salesman at the time, so I am the father of a used car salesman. He could sell refrigerators to Eskimos. He could sell screen doors to submarine captains. My father was a used car salesman. And one night he came home from work, it was in November of 1979, and he knocked on my bedroom door, and I turned on the light, he opened up the door, and he threw something at me. And I looked at it, and I said, "This is a Bible. What are you doing with a Bible?" He said, "Somebody at work gave it to me. I don't need it. Maybe you can just stick it on your bookshelf." He closed the bedroom door. I left the light on, and that night I read through the book of Matthew. Because how else do you read a book? You start at the beginning. And I started reading through the book of Matthew. Didn't believe in God, wanted nothing to do with religion. I was a lover of things and a user of people. And I started to read through the Gospel of Matthew. And I started reading through it about Jesus, and I knew the cultural Jesus, but I didn't know the biblical Jesus. And I started to read about Jesus. I hated anything to do with religion. And I started to read about this Jesus who loved people. And he didn't just love his people, he loved, who'd he love? Everybody. He even loved people that the religious people didn't like. And I got to Matthew chapter 23 thinking, here's this guy, he loves prostitutes, he loves tax collectors, whatever that means, he just loves people. All of a sudden I get to Matthew 23 and all of a sudden it's like, woe to you, and it blew me away. Matthew chapter 23 uses a very specific word, it's the word hypocrite. And Jesus starts launching into, woe to you, you hypocrites. And it was like, you have to understand what happened right then. It was like I'd gone from, it was like all of a sudden a light came on. And these were my exact thoughts. Woe to you, you hypocrites. Woe to you, you hypocrites. And I thought to myself, you know, I hate anything to do with religion. I hate anything to do with church. Because you stinking Christians are nothing but a bunch of what? Hypocrites. And all of a sudden, I said to myself, hold on here. All my life, I thought I was on this team, and Jesus and all the hypocrites were on the other team, and I thought my team was better. All of a sudden that night, when Jesus started to launch into, woe to you, you hypocrites, all of a sudden I said to myself, Jesus and I are on the same team. I wonder if there are actually people who are Christians the way Jesus says a Christian should be. And I began a search. I ended up at this church in Glencairn, or in London, Ontario, called Glencairn. I lived in a little town called Dorchester. I would drive in. I had a friend in high school who had become a Christian, whatever that means. And I thought, well, I'll go to that church. And I went on Sunday nights. And I did everything I could to make them dislike me. First Sunday night after church, people come up to me and I say, oh, I got to go. Second Sunday night in January of 1980, I go. And it's like, Mike, you're back. I said, yeah. I said, how'd you guys like to go out for a beer after church? Because that happens all the time here, right? And I was wanting them to say, go away. How dare you? And they said, no, but we are going over to a friend's house. His mom's just made all this food. I love to eat. I never met a meal I didn't like. In fact, do you know what my favorite hymn is? What he feeds me, I will swallow. Or at least I think that's how it goes. But next week I decided I would swear a little bit. And so after church, Mike, what are you doing? It's good to see you back again. Yeah, I had a blankety blank great time tonight. They still loved me. And then I met John Dynam. He didn't love me. It took a while. He's still working on it. But what I met, though, is I met people who loved me. And it was about a month later, my father called me into the family room. My father, who'd been a bouncer in a bar. My father, I said to him one time when I was taller, I remember I saying to him one time, I said, Dad, you know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. You know what my dad said to me? Michael, the smaller they are, the farther they fly. You never talk back to my dad. And my dad called me into the family room and he said, Michael, your mom and I noticed you've been going to church on Sunday nights. Why do you go? I didn't know. Honestly, I knew nothing. I said, well, the people are nice. It's something to do on Sunday nights. And my father looked at me with his hands that were the size of baseball gloves. And he said to me, Michael, your mother and I have been talking about this. We think religion is a waste of time. We forbid you to ever go back to church again. End of discussion. That was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. He went back to work. I went back to school. I came home that night. It was 2 o'clock in the morning when the OPP officer knocked on our door and said, there's been a car accident. Do you recognize this wallet? And I said, yes, that's my father's. My father died that night in a car accident coming home. It's very interesting. The next Sunday night, I stood up in church and I said, I honestly don't know how, but I know that God is working in my life. And would you pray for me? And it was about a month later, that someone sat down with me and said, Mike, would you like to know how to become a Christian? You know, at first I said, well, I am a Christian. I'm Canadian. But the more I understood, the more I realized I'd never accepted Christ. And that was when I accepted Christ. And that's pretty much where I'm at. So your guest speaker this morning is a very imperfect person. Okay, I have more holes in me than Swiss cheese. But guess who is good all the time? God is. And so let's close our eyes right now. And let's pray before the message. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, if you're here this morning, and you've come with some hurts this morning. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, if you've come here this morning and you've come with some struggles and some stresses, some burdens, would you just lift your hand up this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed? If you're here this morning and you're going through some physical difficulties and your health is not the best, could you just slip your hand up for me? Thank you. Maybe you're here this morning and you want to grow. You want to grow spiritually, but it's hard to change, isn't it? If you need prayer for spiritual strength, Could you just raise your hand this morning? Maybe you're here this morning and you're searching for God. I want to pray for you. Because God is in this place. These are good people here. They love you. And they would love for you to know how to find Christ the way I found Christ. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed right now, would you just pray with me out loud? Father, thank you for this morning. Say it with me. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you love everybody here this morning. I pray for the person beside me. I pray for the people in front of me and behind me. I pray for anybody here this morning with a heavy heart, with a health struggle, a burden they can't bear alone. And I pray that they would find peace in you. Thank you for Jesus, who loves me, who died for me, who cares about me. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I like to start my messages with a little bit of humor. Just outside of New York City, it is told, there was an Amish family. And they lived in a very simple home and a very simple life. They drove a horse and buggy. And one time, the father and the mother and the son decided that they would go to New York City. They'd never been. And so away they went to New York City. And they got so far, and then they had to get on a train for the very first time. And they ended up in downtown New York City, and they could not get over how big and beautiful the buildings were. And they walked into one. And as they walked around, the father said, I'm going to go this way. And the mother said, well, I'll take our teenage son, and I'm going to go this way. And they started walking around when the mother and son suddenly appeared before these beautiful silver doors. They didn't know what they were. And so as they stood back and watched, suddenly an old man with a cane came walking up to this door, pushed the button, and the doors opened up, and in he walked, and the doors closed. A few seconds later, the door opened, and out comes this very attractive, muscular young man. And the son looks at his mother and says, Mother, what is that? And she looks at him and says, I don't know, but go get your father. It was an elevator. You know, we're all looking for change. We want to change ourselves. We want to change other people. But only God can change. And the topic that I've been given this morning is prayer. And what I want to say to you this morning is that if you are looking for change in your life, you need to do things differently. You need to think differently. You need to respond differently. You need to make some changes in your life. And one of the things that you need to do is you need to understand the role of what we call spiritual disciplines in your life. You need to be spiritually disciplined. If you have your sermon outline, you need to understand that change doesn't just happen. If you have your sermon outline, hold it up like this. Now, flip it over and tell me what's wrong. What's wrong when you turn it over? It's what? It's different. It's upside down. See, most people go through doing the same things. Do you know how they define insanity? Insanity is what? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting to get a different result. The whole thing is that maybe you're here this morning, and the thing is, it's like, well, naturally, every time I take a page like this and I turn it over, well, it's upside down. No, maybe you're upside down. Maybe you're the person who needs to change your perspective. And so the way we look at it in our church is that most people today are living reactive lives. We are so wound up, we're going so fast, that we're just constantly reacting. And we say, no, you need to move from being reactive to being proactive. You need to be intentional in your living. And one of the things that you need to be intentional about, and what's the word up here? You need to be intentional about your what? Your spiritual priorities. We have financial priorities. We have physical priorities. But the most important thing you need to have in your life is a spiritual priority. And what we do is we make it very simple here. Notice on the bottom, I read, I pray, I read, I memorize, I meditate, I share. That's what we do. In a disconnected culture, you need to reconnect with God. Last week, the spiritual discipline was Scripture. This week, the spiritual discipline is prayer. You need to change, and you need to change by changing. The very simple answer in terms of counseling is this. When is a door not a door? When it's a jar. God can change you. And so the whole thing is this. You need to have spiritual priorities. You need to take this sheet. You need to say, okay, this week, I've never read my Bible before. Here's a sheet. When on Monday are you going to read your Bible? At 6 a.m. in the morning? Maybe 9 o'clock at night? When are you going to take time to pray? When are you going to pray with your spouse? When are you going to pray with your children? What are you going to do to make sure that you have spiritual priorities? And so the key to life is if you want to change, you have to what? Change. And so that's why this morning I want to share with you that true faith in God strengthens your prayers. And the bottom line of this morning's message is this. You, if you are not a person of prayer, it may be that you do not have true faith in God. Your view of God may be keeping you from prayer. Let's talk. Think of some wrong views of prayer. Okay, I'm going to give you the first one. The first wrong view of prayer, okay, true faith strengthens your prayers. True faith in God strengthens our prayers. Here's the first wrong view of prayer. God is a genie. Do you know what I mean by that? Okay, everybody hold up a genie bottle. Okay, what do you do with the genie bottle? Sarah, what do you do? Okay, so you rub it, and God pops out, and what does God say? What's your wish? Do you know how much that is taught in North America today, that God is like a genie? And the whole thing is, if your view of God is that God is a genie, and you rub the bottle, maybe church attendance is how you rub the bottle. Maybe being a church member is how you rub the bottle. Maybe putting money in an offering plate is how you... See, there's different ways that we rub the bottle of religion. But the bottom line is that you will be very, very disappointed, because what? I tried. I tried prayer one time. I remember I went through a very difficult time as a child, many people say. And I prayed to God, and He didn't answer me. Prayer doesn't work. But the thing is, that's the wrong view of prayer. You know another wrong view of prayer? The drip, drip, drip method. And that's where if you drip long enough... I remember as a kid one time, I'd heard about this thing called Chinese water torture. And so I got in the bathtub, and I was lying on my back, and I put the bathtub just on a very slight drip. In fact, I recommend this. And I'm lying in the bathtub, drip. Well, that's not so bad. You've done this too? Okay. So here's the thing. Drip, nothing. Drip, nothing. Do you know after a few minutes, it was like being hit in the head with a hammer? It's the most amazing thing ever. How can a drip of water do that? Well, the problem is, that's not prayer. Prayer is not drip, 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 and finally God says, enough! And so we need to understand some things. And that's what I want to share. Point number one, notice what it says here in terms of what we have. Let me just see if this works. What is prayer? You know, prayer, Benjamin Keach, who was a pastor in the 1600s, he basically wrote discipleship materials for children. We call it Keach's Catechism or the Baptist Catechism. But Benjamin Keach, in 1677, he wanted something that was easy to understand. And so this is what he wrote. And it was in the form of questions and answers. He said this: what is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires to God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is offering up our desires to God for things agreeable to His will in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. I like to simplify it and just say this: prayer is you pouring your heart out to God. That's what prayer is. It's talking. I say good morning to you, and what? You say good morning to me. I say, how are you? You say, fine. And then you say, how are you? I say to God, God, I'm struggling. God says, I'm listening. I say, God, what do you think of this? He says, Mike, I think you could do better. We have so made prayer complicated that we have forgot the beauty of simply spending time with God. And so here's the thing we need to understand. Prayer is simply talking to God, pouring out our desires to God. In fact, we could say there are three ways that God answers. It's just so simple. Do you know the three ways that God answers prayer? Yes, no, not yet. That's how simple God answers. God always answers prayer. If you are going through a struggle because there was a time in your life when God didn't answer your prayer, yes, He did. He just answered it differently. And that's the problem with loving God. We don't get everything that we want. Now, let me ask the question, do prayers have to be long? I remember, do you ever hear of a church called Jarvis Street Baptist Church? I remember I was a brand new believer, and I came up, I was doing my chemistry degree, and I worked for Canada Packers. I worked in the environmental lab. And so I went to Jarvis Street for prayer meeting. And we're meeting together, and then all of a sudden, they took a bunch of us up into this attic area. And so it's like, ooh, this is holy. There's dust. And then we prayed. And I remember the first man who prayed. He prayed the most fancy, beautiful prayer you've ever heard. But you know what that did to me as a young Christian? It made me think, if that's prayer, I can't pray like that. It gave me a wrong view of prayer. It gave me a wrong view of what God wants from me. Suddenly, it was no longer a child talking to their father and saying, Dad, can you help me? It was a scholar speaking to God and saying, God, I have magic words. And that's not what prayer is. In fact, let me give you some short prayers. Matthew chapter 14, verse 30. These are four short prayers that God answered. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus is out on the waves. He walks out onto the water. And in Matthew chapter 14, verse 30, when Peter saw the wind and how great the wind was, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, this is what he prayed. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. How long was Peter's prayer? Three words. Then, second time, the prayer of the 10 lepers. In Luke chapter 17, verse 13, 10 lepers are on the road, and as they see Jesus walking by, they lift up their voices and they say, Jesus, Master. Now listen to how long this prayer is. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Then there's the publican, the tax collector, in Luke chapter 18. This publican, he hears this very religious man pray, just the most fantastic prayer you'd think you could ever hear. And Jesus says, no, that wasn't it. Suddenly the tax collector, who's standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes. He was so ashamed of his spiritual condition. But he beat upon his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Did God answer that prayer? And then there's the prayer of the thief on the cross. Luke 23, verse 42. Looking at Jesus, he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You know, the whole thing is this. You don't have to pray very long. You don't have to pray very fancy. You don't have to pray a certain way to have power and direct results. Here's the whole thing. Do you need to go? You just need to go to God right now. You need to go to the Lord today. You just need to go to God with a specific request, and God will hear you. Don't beat around the bush. We do not need, okay, now, there's two things churches do not need. Sitting, soaking saints, because what happens to sitting, soaking saints? They sour. We need people who want to be involved. And the most important ministry you can have in a church is the ministry of prayer. And so don't beat around the bush. Sitting, soaking saints and people who are afraid to talk to God. Don't be afraid. Here's the whole thing. God always answers prayers. Do you know the three prayers that God always answers? I just gave them to you. Know what they are? Be merciful to me, God. Maybe another way of saying that is, God, I'm a mess. I don't deserve you. Does God hear your prayer? Yes. The second prayer God always answers, remember me. If you're in a situation in your life right now and you're stuck, if you're in a situation in your life right now and you don't know where, it's like there's no light at the end of the tunnel, and if there is a light, it's because a train's coming. God, remember me. He answers that prayer. And then there's, God, save me. Greatest thing I ever did was say, I don't know how, God, but I want you in my life. And God filled in the blanks. Let me mention a couple of things before we close off. My favorite prayer hymns. There are a lot of songs about prayer, but here's one of my favorites. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You know my second favorite song? Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne, makes all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. You know, Jesus put it this way, you have not because you ask not. Now, my favorite prayer verses. Well, the first one, My first one is Ephesians 3:20. To Him, that's God, who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. You know, notice what it says here. God can do far more abundantly than all we ask. Even our prayers are just a mere reflection of how good God can be. Notice this one. And this is the confidence. You know, we pray so timidly. We don't even bother to pray because, well, why should I pray? Well, notice this. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him. That if we ask what? Say it with me. If we ask what? Look to the person beside you. And what can we talk to God about? Look at them and tell them. What? Anything. This is the confidence that if we ask anything according to His will, He what? God hears you. God hears me. Anybody here feel unworthy? I do, but God hears me. Anybody here feel like your prayers don't make a difference? They do. God hears you. The whole thing is, it is your job to bring the requests. It is God's job to sort it out and do what's best. That's God's job. Listen, why stay up all night worrying? God's all up all night anyway. Just give it to Him. I cast all my cares upon you because you what? You care for me. So many of us are struggling. Let me just say this. Luke chapter 18, 1-8 is the story of the unjust judge. Do not leave here without hearing this. The story of the unjust judge is not about God. It's opposite. It is an opposite story. The unjust judge says, I don't care, but God cares. The unjust judge says, oh, not another person with a request. God has no limit. The whole thing is this. God wants you to be encouraged. In verse 1, Jesus gives the story so that you may pray and not give up. If you're here this morning and you feel like giving up, don't give up. Do you want to see people come to Christ? Don't stop praying. Do you want to see a habit in your life taken out of your life? Don't give up. Do you want to see God work and make a spiritual breakthrough in the life of a close friend? Don't give up. Jesus told this story that you would pray and not give up. Then in verses 2 to 8, God wants you to trust Him. God is nothing like this judge. Everything about the judge is not God. In fact, here's the whole thing. For a while, notice this, underline verse 2, a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. God's the opposite. He loves you. Notice this in verse 3, there was a widow. If you think for a minute that you are alone, you are not. You are a child of the King. See, this is the whole thing. You're not alone. God is with you right now. Notice verse 4, or verse 5, because this widow keeps bothering me. If you think that you're bothering God, you do not have true faith. You're never bothering God. True faith in God strengthens your prayers. And you need to understand this. God loves us. He's not like the unrighteous judge. God has made us His children. We are not orphans or widows. We're children of the King. God always answers our sincere prayers. This judge, for a while, he refused, and then finally he said, oh, okay, if I have to. That's not God. God wants us to constantly come to Him. We are never bothering Him. That's why in 1 Thessalonians it says to pray, say it with me, pray without what? Because prayer is a conversation with a God who loves us and cares about us. In fact, He loves us so much, He says, I'm not just a God, I'm a heavenly Father. God loves you. God cares about you. God knows what's best. So let me ask this question. What is happening with your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Do you know it says in Philippians that prayer produces a peace that we can't even comprehend? So many people, when they think of prayer, they don't have peace, they have guilt. I want to leave you with this thought this morning. If you have a child, if you had children, if you've ever been around babies, I'm always amazed at how parents only want their child to say one word. And if it's the mom, what's the first word a child wants to hear? Mama. If you're the dad, it's a competition. What's the first word you want your child to say? Yeah, go ask your mother. Yeah. Okay, I'm moving over to the smarter side of the room this morning. No, here's the whole thing. Would you ever as a parent, would you ever as a babysitter, would you ever, if you're working in the nursery, if the very first words out of a baby's mouth were mama or dada, would you ever say to them, oh, that's not good enough? What would you do? You remember, don't you? That's our God. Forget the fancy words. Forget being in the right place. Forget anything but this. You are children of a God who loves you and is just waiting for you to call out to Him, waiting for you to talk to Him about your deepest needs, waiting for you to talk to Him about everything. In fact, listen to the words of this song. I need you now. Come on up, Sarah. O living water, O God, my Savior, if I ever needed you, I need you now. O living water, O God, my healer, if I ever needed you, I need you now. That's a prayer. God doesn't need me. I need God. And the whole thing is this. Are you at this point in your life where you are willing to yield and surrender and say, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Are you at a point where you have humbled and surrendered yourself to the point where you say, God, I need you? Because that's what prayer is simply saying, God, take this mess and bless it. Let's all stand and let's close our eyes together. Father, right now, may we together as brothers and sisters in Christ simply humble ourselves, remembering the verse in James that says, if we humble ourselves, if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. Father, I pray for these people now. I pray for them that we personally would make the decision to surrender completely to your will. Not my will, but your will be done. Lord, I pray for this church that you would make them salt and light, that you would make them a lighthouse in this area. And Father, I pray that your Spirit would just blow through this place and that we can all sing together, have thine own will, Lord. You are the potter, I am the clay. May we realize, Lord, that you're in charge. And we need to simply allow you to work. So, Lord, as we sing this last song, may we sing it as a prayer. May we sing it personally. And may we think of ourselves. And so, Lord, help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.